So welcome to the current talk on regulating law enforcement Trojans. So government hacking is basically the cyber utopia of law enforcement for some, and to others they still just look like criminals on the wire in the end. But Naif and Pila are going to present a more nuanced approach to the whole topic and hope we can learn from it. So welcome, Naif and Pila.
1, 2, 3, okay. So, we made those slides in an hour and a half because we were cooking pasta at the Italian embassy, where you can all welcome to get some grappa after, but our comprehensive sharing of the experience that we had in reaching a bill proposal to regulate the use of Trojan by law enforcement in Italy.
And wasting two years of our life for nothing, since now everything in Italy is quite complicated, even this law.
So what we wanted to share is not just which are the juridically and technically technical aspects of the bill proposal that could make a sense, but also which is the kind of process and experience that we had in doing it. First of all, we were set up in an casual way as a team of a technologies parliamentarian in Italy, that's also an hacker from late 90s, early 90s, an IT skilled lawyer, and me and Pila as hackers, forensics, a technical guy. And we're going to speak only of the regulation of Trojan by law enforcement agencies. So no uses by intelligence, or we are not going to speak also about export control to foreign countries. Specific focus on law enforcement agencies. First, we want to share the difficulties that we had within the debate, because the topic of regulating the use of Trojan have a lot of stakeholders, I mean people and organizations interested in, that may range from civil society, different governmental organizations, all of the IT and criminal-related lawyer communities, the forensics communities, the prosecutors, and the government itself. It's represented also by stakeholders like the privacy ombudsman that take care of privacy. So the amount of stakeholders in place are a lot, and often share, not shifted the right way. So what we saw is that the conversation on the use of Trojan by the civil society, it's mostly focused, especially because of the media hype, on the use of Trojan by non-democratic government that spy on activists with technologies provided by Western countries. But those are mostly used by intelligence. The kind of complexity of the topic when you approach it in a broader way and not very specific vertical aspects like use of Trojan by law enforcement spark topic of export control, human rights compliance conversation, geopolitical aspects, technical evaluation of tools and detection of the Trojan, aspects of leaking and public shaming, like it happened to Hacking Team, for example, and a lot of conversation on the topic of zero-day and vulnerability disclosure by governmental agencies. This is kept out of this proposal. And so many times we were engaging in a different aspect of the civil society to speak about this kind of topic. We also got a lot of criticism that are reasonable regarding the fact that what we are doing is pursuing the legitimization of the government hacking. But we accept that there should be many different views. And on average, we have the civil society on one aspect that says stop government hacking at all. And that's the kind of campaign general feeling. While the government say, okay, due to encryption, we lost investigative power, now we need to hack to get it back. And the different kind of requirements that need to be collected and put together by civil society and governmental agencies and different players are investigative, juridical, and technical. So are very different aspects. Personally, I didn't know almost anything about the Italian criminal procedural code unless the article related to computer crimes. Now I know a little bit more that I learned together with Andrea from the lawyer. So that's kind of difficult.
There are many different point of views. There is an investigative point of view, juridical and technical point of views. The difficult part is that every one of these point of views think they point of view is the most important ones. So everyone say the law must be regulated by my own point of view. And they speak completely different languages. So if you speak from your point of view, a technical point of view, to a lawyer, they don't understand anything about technical. The lawyer speak with the investigator. They say, yes, you are trying to defend the criminals. You don't understand anything about investigation and so on. So it's a very difficult table.
And obviously, we are not counting the political aspect. That's probably the worst things to have to do with a politician, teach people and explain basically how computer works. So that's the kind of approach that we achieved, during a couple of years, going on. That's first, we defined the problem that we wanted to achieve. So that's a bill proposal and a technical regulation. Then we developed a prototype as a core team. That means a basic text of the kind of patch that we need to do to the law and the draft of the technical regulation that should come with it. Then we presented that prototype, so the text and the technical regulation draft, to the different stakeholders in order to improve and collect criticism and contribution and requirement. For stakeholder, we really means from the experienced and expert IT lawyer, professor of law, legal of universities, but also the law enforcement agencies, the specialized unit for cybercrime, the intelligence agencies, the anti-mafia, the prosecutors, the Ministry of Justice, and all those kind were stakeholders we were speaking to. We also had a meeting with the privacy ombudsman in order to collect from them what do they think and what do they feel this should go. Integrating their suggestion, when reasonable, with our principle of guarantee and safety, and then sharing again with all of the different stakeholders. So we iterated several times. Then we arranged a private invite-only conference at the Senate, where we invited the key stakeholder from the head of the Anti-Mafia Commission to the privacy ombudsman, civil society and civil liberty groups, computer forensics experts, lawyers that teach IT-related law in the universities, to have from them to all the other stakeholders, what do they think about this draft of law from their point of view as a piece of the stakeholders. With the Chapman House rules, it means that everyone can say outside what has been told in that meeting, but no one can say who said it. That's a kind of a rule of engagement for that kind of private meeting to get consensus. Then we iterated for several improvements. I don't get in the technical aspect, but it got really important changes in the good. And then we started a public consultation by publishing the proposal on a forum, making some media campaign, collecting some feedback, make some other small iteration. Finally, we deposited it to the Chamber of Deputies. So that's the kind of process that took about a couple of years, using spare time, in order to reach this kind of proposal.
In the meantime, Italian government tried many times to propose different bills. So every time some people say, okay, we need to introduce a Trojan inside our penal procedure code. And every time they say, okay, my proposal of bill was, yes, we can use Trojan, nothing more. So every time you need to run to Rome and say, no, this is not enough. This is a very complex thing. We are working on it from 2 years, so it's better if you talk together. So at the end, you say that the political part is the most difficult one, since they don't understand anything about technology, they don't understand anything about the implication of from a forensic point of view, from a juridical point of view, from a technical point of view. They just want to have their own name on a new law. They say that Trojan can be used.
Yeah. So we want, there are a certain amount of even juridical experts and privacy activists that argue against a law to regulate the Trojan by using for law enforcement. But without a law, what happened? It happened that without a law, everything is allowed with a single warrant. So it means that in the criminal procedural code, there's not a written Trojan. You can use that for that kind of crime, for that procedure, following those rules. So if I am a prosecutor, I need to go to the judge and ask for an authorization that it's something to do something that the judge does not really understand what the hell this prosecutor is asking for. Because there's a technical related issue and the judge follow the law. So it's an atypical tool. This is the definition from a juridical point of view. And these allow a prosecutor, for example, to ask for a warrant to follow a person that in the Italian, by the Italian law, he can basically self-authorize himself. So he cannot self-authorize to follow a person by using a Trojan in order to collect his GPS coordinates while moving. But then, you know, once the Trojan is on the device, he can collect everything. Probably he will not use those data in court, but he will be able to see. Just trash it, just don't use it as a proof. Maybe at a later stage, we will seize the device. And this is exactly what prosecutors were also doing in Italy. We know of a certain dynamics where the prosecutor used the Trojan during the preliminary investigation phase, because the judge easily signed a warrant on something that he don't know anything about those computers. Acquired all the evidences, but it was preliminary investigation. So they just closed the preliminary investigation, started officially the investigation, and seized that notebook exactly the day after, because they know that the evidence were on that device, but they already saw that in the preliminary investigation phase with the Trojan.
In other words, we have a police who is playing like an intelligence agency. So they collect all the evidences, they understand where to hit, then we'll go, as he said, in a specific street at a specific hour, and they stop a specific car and they found everything they want. So now everything is legal, but all the past investigation is not legal, since it's acquired with an instrument which is more related than an intelligence agency instead of a police corp.
Does some technical aspect is not clear because we are assuming knowledge of how the juridical things is going on? Or it's okay? Okay. Then without a law, the jurisprudence, so the tribunal, the different courts of different level, will start writing the law on their own. For example, one case in Italy of mafia-related things reached the Supreme Court in a case of mafia-related case where the Trojan was used to record the surrounding environment, and the defense lawyer challenged that it was not authorized to do so, basically, because of limitation of the surrounding environment law. Because the surrounding environment, I don't want to get into the technical aspect, sorry. So basically they authorized the use of Trojan to listen to surrounding environment. Prosecutors know that, all juridical magazines speak about this. The acquisition of the evidence from a prosecutor and defendant point of view have an uncertain legal status, because if I acquire data from a suspect and then I go in court, I don't know if those data can, cannot be just contended, because there's no way to validate the way the data was acquired. I mean, we know that for what's related to computer and phones search and seizures, there are clear custody chain and procedure for the acquired evidence to be collected with a read-only hardware and all the procedures to be followed and recorded so that the defendant can check it. That's not the case for the data acquired with the Trojan. So let's now we get into the proposal. We wanted to give this kind of context to better phrases. First, our outcome. We asked what we need to do to regulate the Trojan by law enforcement. First, we need to patch the criminal procedural code. The criminal procedural code is the part of the law that define which are the investigatory tools and power that prosecutors have for which kind of crime they can be used. for how much time and how the data should be handled and if there should be some kind of notification. So it means that a voice phone call interception is not going to be given for a crime of Facebook defamation. And in the criminal procedural code, it's written that. So there should be a proportionality between the seriousness of the crime and the investigatory power that is being used. And we know that these already regulate interception of phone calls, the recording of internet traffic, following people, searching a people's house or property and seizing goods, all the operational rules, when in details, for example, for telecommunication interception, rely on ministry regulation because it may need to be updated. Now, what we learned is that jurists, people that approach the law and the policy making entirely from a juridical point of view, really don't like innovation within the existing code. Especially, they don't like innovation that they don't understand. So it means that the amount of modification and the wording to be done in the criminal code should follow this kind of approach of minimizing the modification because they have to review and accept it. And then there are the ministry's technical regulation, that it's everything defined by the criminal procedural code on how stuff should be done. In our proposal, we brought in the bill that the technical regulation must be done by the Ministry of Justice, but with binding opinion from the Privacy Ombudsman. So it means that the Privacy Ombudsman could challenge the Ministry of Justice technical proposal and until it satisfies the privacy and data protection requirement defined by the law.
Fabio said that jurists don't like to change the criminal procedural code. So, and this is especially true when they don't understand anything about a specific technology. So every time you need to speak with them, you need to refer actual technology to past example. For example, if I insert a Trojan inside a cell phone, okay, and I use this Trojan to check GPS data from this device, is like when you have an agent that following these guys. So you can refer to the same part of the law, and probably you need to take this part on the loan and put inside the new law of the Trojan. This for every single function or feature of the Trojan, you need to try to refer to some kind of previous analog investigation.
So we need to use the criminal procedural code as a library, as we are writing a software. We need to touch the less code as possible. And so we went referring to the Trojan capabilities of information collection by bringing any kind of information collection action that a Trojan can does to its existing equivalents that's already regulated. That way, minimal modification can be done, and it cannot really contested because they are already specifically defined for which kind of crime, for how long, and blah, blah, blah. So, with the bill proposal, by the law, a telephone wiretapping warrant will be required to listen a WhatsApp call because it's a voice call. Remote search and seizure will be required to access file on a remote device. Internet wiretapping warrant or recording of browsing session. Even listening the surrounding environment, so using the microphone, that's a capability of information collection of a Trojan. It should follow the very same warrant to plant audio bug. And for GPS tracking, the same aspect to follow a person. That's very important because we are today one of the most
abuse.
The more important problem that the Trojan have is that once on the device, it can collect everything. It's the entire life of the target, whatever the channel is using, whatever the external information collection capabilities the device has, it can be done. So we need to reduce the invasiveness of the use of the Trojan that need to be justified to a judge. I need the photo stored on that phone.
Since every time now, they are try to acquire the most easier authorization, for example, is the one to the warrant to follow a person, and they extend this authorization to every single feature of the Trojan.
Yeah, so today, really, a prosecutor can just get a warrant to follow a person and inject a Trojan and then make a phone call illegally, basically. Another point that has been introduced by the policy proposal is that a Trojan can be used only after other investigatory tool has been used. So, because usually we have preliminary investigation phase and investigation phase, and you can use different kind of tools depending on the amount of information that you have on the suspect during the preliminary investigation. What we want to prevent is that the Trojan, it start to be used against people only because they may be suspect of this but have not enough evidence to say. At that stage, Trojan should not be used. So one of the rules in the law say that only after you tried all other tools and you need to justify that, that means try to intercept a phone call, try to intercept internet traffic, try to follow the person, you can use the Trojan as a last resort.
Yes, and furthermore, for example, in Italy, there are a ton of different crime about fraud, not paying taxing, try to evade the taxes, and so on. So sometimes they try to do something like, I suspect that guy is somewhere related to terrorism or whatever. They put a Trojan, and they have all the evidence about evading tax and so on. So if you want to use the Trojan for a crime, it must be used for that specific crime and nothing else.
Ah, I have a duplication. Yeah. So then there is a point of the criminal procedural code that will say when the Trojan should be used. I mean, by which kind of crime it could be used. If I say a bad words to someone on Facebook and that person go to the police and denounce me, it's worth to use a Trojan? No. So in the proposal, we limited the use of Trojan only to mafia and terrorism-related crime. But we discovered quite fastly that that's the kind of investigatory tool that apply to a specific to a specific crime. It's really a political aspect that we cannot rule out. Some proposed to use the Trojan for anti-corruption, but when we had the meeting at the Senate, the stakeholder representing the MPs were challenging. No, a Trojan can't be used to fight corruption. Okay, someone were for pedopornography and someone for cybercrime, but. That's a political discussion that we need to stay out because it depends really on context by context case. This is something that I didn't copy and paste in the right way. And then the fact that the Trojan can be installed and operated only by law enforcement agencies, people. Because today what's happened? Today it's happened
it's
that...
It
happened, sorry. That the police, the prosecutor, go to the local hacking team or whatsoever and ask, hey, I need to inject a Trojan on there. That person. And they do a full service, like they do the open source intelligence, they try to understand. They became part of the investigation. As a private contractor, they ended up installing the Trojan and remotely operating everything that's required. Now, the law say that the police and the prosecutor can have help by private contractors, but they should oversight what they do, and they are responsible for the private contractor of operation that they engaged. But if the police doesn't have the technical skills to operate the Trojan, how can they oversight someone operating the Trojan on their behalf? So, in the law, we wrote that Trojan should be installed by the police. When we met the head of the cyber police, let's call it that way, they say, yes, but we need the training. We need a lot of training to do that. And they say, yes, that should be the way to go. I mean, but we need to make a policy proposal that works. Then it creates some difficulties. We know the difficulties should be surpassed. And this is not a juridical aspect, but it's... the operational issues related to the juridical part of this proposal. Basically, one of the problems is the search and seizure. The analog equivalent of a search and seizure, I mean going into someone's house, searching for stuff and looking for it, require a notification to the person the house is searched. Obviously, if a Trojan gets installed on your computer and the Trojan make a pop-up, hey, from now on I'm going to start intercepting you, that's not going to work. There is a tool of delayed notification, because by law, at least in Italy, for a search and seizure, a notification has to be done as a right of the person being searched. They can delay up to 90 days in case of mafia. So on that, that kind of problem, we had to create an entirely new juridical tool in the criminal procedural code, because we were not able to patch the other existing information capability in order to provide an explicit remote search and seizure juridical capability. There is an interesting aspect with this approach when we approach, for example, for the messaging application, let's say WhatsApp or the email client. Now, if the Trojan intercept email as they get sent and received, that's a real-time internet wiretapping and require an internet wiretapping warrant. But if I wanted to collect the previously received email or WhatsApp chat, that's a search and seizure, and I need a different warrant. So that's to be considered, because even if the Trojan can technically acquire WhatsApp stuff, the Trojan, depending on the warrant, should be able to intercept internet-related communication or should be able to acquire evidence with a search and seizure. Well, then we discovered this kind of problem that in Italy, the juridical investigatory tool to follow a person does not require a judge authorization, so the prosecutor can self-authorize, and they are abusing this kind of self-authorized warrant to inject Trojan in preliminary investigation phase. There is a problem, juridical problem, for the collection of the screenshots, because the Trojan can collect the screenshot of the display, but what if a screenshot have an opened email that you just received, or if it have a photo, or I don't know,
a previous WhatsApp conversation, so,
or your open Google Maps interaction with your location data. Those kind of data are regulated in terms of collection from other points. So now I have to say it's an open issue. The screenshots are not be properly addressed by this proposal. And then there is also the environmental listening issue from a juridical point of view, because in Italy you can put audio bug only in the place where the crime is being committed. So you cannot just plant audio bug here and there and see if something happens.
But you can carry yourself, your smartphone, everywhere. So you have to limit the places where the Trojan is able to listen for conversation or even acquiring pictures or even take a, perform a video. So this is quite quite complicated, since you need to control the GPS position of the device and try to match the position with the place where the crime can be done.
And this is because we are bringing the equivalence of analog information collection warrant, that's placing an audio bug, and recording audio with a digital audio bug. It should stay on the same article, and so this creates a kind of limitation. But it means that the Trojan should implement a geographical fence. If they want to audio bug my house, they need to use the GPS to know that only in that area they can leave the microphone open, unless for mafia and terrorism, because they say that if it's organized crime, it's a usual crime conduct, so you are a criminal every day and you are conducting crime every seconds, and so you can for that case keep it on. Then we came to the maybe more interesting, at least from a geek point of view, the technical requirements. Now, the technical requirements of the bills, those are written into the law, not in the technical regulation. In the technical regulation, there are the details that follow that principle that are written into the law. The first is that source code of the Trojan need to be deposited to a specific authority that's already in charge for state security technologies. In Italy, it's called Isticom. In other countries, like in France, there is the ANSSI, and there are different kind of authorities in every country, where those certification body typically certify international common criteria standard for state security technology use, military, diplomacy, intelligence, and classified information generally related.
At this point, many stakeholders say very bad words to us, since they say, yes, you are crazy, you are trying to force us to reveal all our secrets, since we are using zero-day both a ton amount of money, we need to expose how we inject the Trojan and so on. So we talk to them and we try to find an agreement. So the source code must be deposited to a third organization that is not related to the vendor and is not related to the government, and everything can be encrypted and there will be a protocol to open the sources and to understand how to create a new Trojan just to verify all the feature inside and so on. But 2 months just to understand and to talk and to try to find an agreement for this specific point.
We need to go a bit faster because we have 15 minutes, 14. So the Trojan must be verifiable with a reproducible build, and that's a kind of a technical challenge, but it could be achieved. We discussed also with the people that we know that work in companies that do produce malware, or the former CTO of a known Italian malware provider that drinking beer were suggesting a lot of things. So that the defendant need to be able, as a last resort, to make the inspection and the reproduction of the Trojan being used in this case. Then the Trojan must be certified. So it means that the functionality need to pass a clear acceptance defined test that satisfy those technical regulation. Important, every operation made by the Trojan or by the operator operating the Trojan must be logged in an integrity and time-stamped way, so that the log of the operation of the Trojan should be given to the defendant, so the defendant technical expert can, in a detailed way, look that the Trojan have done only legit things and there were no suspects of it. Other aspect of the technical regulation is that the Trojan production and use must be traceable by establishing a national Trojan registry. We faced a conversation with people from the police that were saying, I don't know if this other department of the anti-mafia is working on injecting a Trojan of this other guy, on the same guy. And so
we could be in a situation where I'm asking to a warrant to inject a Trojan in a phone where there are more than one Trojan injected by other different agencies in Italy. So it's a fucking mess. So in this case, we need a registry where to check if some other police corps is trying to inject Trojan in the same to the same person or in the same device.
And the nice thing is that people from the cybersecurity cert and intelligence say yes, but it will be also useful to know if one of the Trojan being used, it's a malware or it's from one of us. And this also enables the defendant to check that Trojan that was used by the court of Milan. It's investigating the suspect, but if the Trojan is from the court of Rome, well, then there is a procedural problem. Then, other two important requirements is that the Trojan, once installed, shall not lower the security level of the device, so that's to protect the integrity of the device, and that the Trojans, once the investigation is finished, must be uninstalled, or otherwise, the instruction to how to self-remove should be given to the defendant. So it's up to the manufacturer to introduce a self-destruction that properly log the self-destruction. Some of the lessons we learned is that first, politicians need to have a very basic explanation of how computers and network works.
But something like, this is a banana, this is a computer, do you know the difference? Okay?
It was very different. We found out that the fear that someone is spying on their phone usually triggered the interest in regulating these kind of things. That's available inside during presentation to advocate for that. That if you don't have a law, the jurisprudence, some case that reach the highest court will take care of it and allow something, disallow something, but you don't know how it will end up.
And say a tons of nonsense from then, a technical point of view.
We also learned that law enforcement mostly inject Trojan with a physical access. I mean, we are captured by the conversation of zero-day exploits and international intelligence-related facts and so on. But at the local level, the law enforcement mostly access physically the device, and when they are searching to plant an audio bug or a video bug, oh, there's a computer, there's a phone. Let's also try to load the computer spyware.
In other words, so you are passing the custom, they will stop you, they will search inside your bags and so on, and someone else steal your phone and inject the Trojan.
So then we also got as a feedback, speaking with law enforcement and also some intelligence agencies, that they consider this tool to be very unstable and inefficient because of the relatively low success rate, especially since the new phone have a PIN and device encryption and such. So it ends up that they are already using as a last resort tool because it doesn't work so well when a phone is protected by chance. And then that policy making and advocacy, I think we never done it. It's tremendously expensive and slow process. You think that from the idea to reach to a point that you say, okay, it's done, then let's see how it's going on.
You have an idea and some people tell you that you are a friend of COP. And the other ones say you are a privacy protector. So we are always the same, the idea is the same, but different point of view, and they say every time bad thing to us.
Yeah, the good is that you get a shame for almost any aspect, but then if you engage people in the conversation, people engage. There are several open issues of this kind of policy proposal that has been also reviewed by Access Now, that gives also some hint specifically to the regulation of mutual legal assistance territories. So when the police of a country A ask to the police of country B, hey, can you inject a Trojan on behalf of me? Or the problem of cross-border hacking, that's a kind of legal issue. I mean, when we speak about law enforcement, so police and prosecutor of Italy can operate in Italy. So, and what if they don't know where the target is? Is supposed the target to be in Italy so he can inject a Trojan? And what if the suspect is in France? They cannot surely hack something in France. And this is in theory already regulated by the law, but there is this open point. When the police or prosecutor doesn't know where the target is, can they try to hack it or not? And that's really an open question because it fits also with the regards to international jurisprudence and such. And also we got a feedback from one of the guys that it's inside the Trojan manufacturer and such, that they say, you know, that doing something like that will probably create a single provider of Trojans because it will increase the cost of compliance to satisfy the regulation, upload the source code, support the defendant, that you ended up killing all the competitors. And that could be market-related things. Then, is that now a law after all of this effort?
Of
you
course
would say,
no.
Short answer, no. Why? Because the parliament passed it's called the delegation law, where the parliamentarians vote for principle to delegate the government to write the new criminal code procedures. That's the piece of electronic document that we are patching by proposing a law. And so, until it's not finished, this will completely block any proceeding of this proposal. There's a point that major stakeholders consider this in Italy as a gold standard, because any kind of stakeholder that could have been asked for an opinion and can be a trusted party has been involved and his concerns were considered. The Justice Commission president said that they will schedule for parliamentary activity only after the code, the criminal procedural code is reviewed, if and only if the government does not crash again. Because in Italy, I don't know if you know, but in 5 years we had three different prime ministers. So what we felt, speaking about this, also considering the other action regarding policy making on Trojan, especially recently the CCC one, is that it will be required to have a sort of international standard to define policy guidelines for Trojan, because the argument, it's complicated enough that the effort at a single national level is not so good. Anytime you try to share the knowledge that you acquired with someone, you find also that there are very juridical, country juridical specific aspects, and so there should be the need to do some more research on it. Here, the talk is almost finished. Here are some of the resources to read the text online. We wrote an article on Boeing and sent to Dr. Wu that was so kind to publish it to explain to a broader international audience the kind of approach in a 3-page articles. There is a summary in English that we have done to present this kind of effort. There is the policy review made by Access Now, that's such an NGO working on digital rights based in Brussels. And here there are also all the other the bill proposal, the technical regulation, and so on, but unlikely all in Italian, so it needs translation. And those are the folks that worked on this and their related contact. So if you want, we can move to some question and answer, if I'm respecting the Herald instruction.
Okay, thank you. There are two mics in the center, and they're open now.
Sorry, the microphone is turned off.
So we have a microphone.
Okay, just use the one in the back.
Even this even this one.
Stall a Trojan.
Okay, start again, sorry.
What is the situation in Italy when you install a Trojan? There's a difference in Europe. In Austria, there will be a law that the law enforcement can move into the flat or somewhere else, even if it's closed. In Germany, it will be forbidden. They must install the Trojan via malware. And what is the situation in Italy?
Of course, it's a mess. We are in Italy. So the problem is that I think to be one of the first people who installed a Trojan in Italy, and it was the 2004, so 13 years ago. So we are in a gray zone. They installed Trojan, they tried to in some way to have a warrant to install this Trojan, but there is no law at all. So sometimes the Trojan can be used, sometimes it can't be used. Sometimes the digital evidence can be put in court. Sometimes they use to justify something to find some specific evidence in the real world. It's not easy to answer to this question.
And prosecutors said that often the text for the warrant is written by the provider, the private contractor that provides the Trojan, because they don't know that much about it. Oh, if this juridical... there's a question. No.
I have a question, or maybe a comment. If you have a If you have a Trojan, you want to install it, and you should start collecting 0 days. The NSA did, the Secret Service in my country did, everyone collects 0 days and keeps them secret. So all the citizens are put to danger because the 0 days are not are kept secret. And I think, therefore, we should fight for having Trojans forbidden overall and have our secret service and our police work on finding 0 days and make them public and not keep them for themselves and use them for their Trojans. And so we should not put effort into making a good law that balances between the needs of the police and the privacy, but just be contrary to Trojans in general.
In my humble opinion, 0 day should be connected to weapons. So you can't have a law in a country when you say you can't use weapons at all. Okay? Since they are useful for defense, they are useful to fight crimes and so on. So this is the same. But we have some trouble to understand that is the same thing. Okay? If I'm telling to you, oh, Russian lost two nuclear bombs. Oh, my God, this is it's a problem. Where will be this bomb and so on? If I'm telling you, Shadow Broker steal 1 terabyte of 0 day from NSA, oh, it's just computer. But it's the same thing. So you can't write a law telling, no, you can't use 0 day, you can't collect 0 day. Since they say is useful for cyber army, is useful for attacking, is useful for police, and so on. So it's the same thing as weapon. So it should be the best thing in the world, okay? But it is not possible in our real world at the present. There should be a law telling that 0 day must be kept secret, must be kept in a secure place. Then, in fact, all three-letter agency lost some kind of 0 days that are widespread to the public.
But that's another debate, I think. Just because and when we got this feedback, also speaking with the folks of Privacy International, where we had a chat with the guy of Privacy International, not sharing this, and the 0 day and vulnerability disclosure process was part of the conversation. The issue here is that it's not the place, it's not the kind of law where to put a kind of limits on the use or not use of the 0 day. We were having a conversation with a few of the lawyers there, asking ourselves how it could be possible to define a law that limit and the handling of 0 day vulnerability and such. And every time all the discussion reached the point that we need to have liability of the manufacturer and the mandatory insurance policies, because this is the way to give the liability of the vulnerability to who created the vulnerability. That's the software manufacturer. This was, this is another topic. I mean, we can, if you want, later on, we can have a conversation I would really love. There are many different opinions, and it's a policy research aspect. But I really got your ethical opinion that there should not be 0 day, and government should fix that rather than exploit it. That's really, I mean, we felt the same. There are any other questions?
Yes, no, maybe. No, then there's a meeting at 6 p.m. 1800 CEST, Central European Summer Time, because here we're in Europe, near Amsterdam, in case you haven't noticed. It's at the Italian Embassy, which is down that way towards the woods. It's basically where you drank from this delicious grappa last night and then forget everything where you went.
Side message, still 12 liters left. Thank you.